I come downstairs and I'm really bleary-eyed because usually I get up earlier than this. My son looks at me. Then he turns to my daughter's like, what's wrong with his eyes? Right? My daughter looks at me. He's like, he just woke up.
Welcome to the Medical Dads Podcast, a parenting podcast by two dads who happen to be medical doctors. I'm one of your co-hosts, Dr. Stuart Harmon, a pediatric emergency room physician and father of four from Ottawa, Ontario.
I want to be in the podcast.
Daddy, do you know what you're doing?
Can I play a game on your computer?
Daddy, where's mommy?
And I'm your other co-host, Dr. David Hsu, a family doctor from Toronto, Ontario. Welcome aboard. All right, Dr. Harmon, we're back for another episode of Medical Dads.
Back we are. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Working from home once again.
I'm glad someone's doing good and doing work.
Yes, in case people are unawares, both of us are stuck at home. I have actually been at home pretty much the whole year since March of 2020. But Dr. Harmon over here actually had attempted to resume normal life and sent his kids to school this fall, along with 80% of the other parents in this province. But as of January, we're all back at home again because the province is undergoing various stages of lockdown. Depending on when you listen to this episode, we're getting more and more lockdown.
That's right. Our tightest version of lockdown so far is what we're going through now. I guess not including the original outbreak when at the very beginning when kids weren't even going to school or doing any online learning or anything.
Right. Which means we're all at home right now with our children once again.
That's right. That's right. And I got to say, having the kids at home certainly tells me that, yes, I made the right decision sending them back to school in September. Because if I had to do this from September until the beginning of January, I mean, I don't even know how I'm going to make it through the next 2 weeks. I don't think I could have made it through the past 4 months.
Well, to be fair, Dr. Harmon does have four children, so it must be an entirely different calculation of how to manage that household. I believe your wife is working right now, right? She's teaching virtually, must be.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I guess as we go through the podcast, we can really get into what makes this period right now different than the lockdown that we had, you know, earlier on in the pandemic. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be able to relate.
We could. Let's get into that. Before we talk about the working from home bit, let's touch base a little bit about last week's episode, because there's a little bit of controversy about this thing. Now, if people recall, last week we were talking about getting exercise in the winter, and we talked about tobogganing, and Dr. Harmon reassured us that he rarely ever sees any serious toboggan injuries at CHEO in Ottawa, and that toboggans are very safe and no precautions are necessary. Then
wait a minute. Go back to the tapes. I never said that.
I edited the tapes. That's what the tape said.
The tape. Well, specifically, we had talked about the question, do you need to wear a helmet when you go tobogganing?
Yes, yeah. We did talk about that.
So at the end, when you go back and listen to that, my answer at the time was the injuries that I see are not these severe intracranial bleeds or swelling that helmets protect you from, because helmets don't protect you from concussion. And mm-hmm. I went into a long-winded discussion about how you don't need a helmet provided that you're tobogganing with, to summarize it, a modicum of common sense, right? I talked about, sure, yeah, if you're in a place where there's a fence or where there's a tree, that's not a good idea. If you're having to walk up the hill, I won't rehash it all, because since that time, I've seen a mountain of toboggan injuries.
A mountain.
An avalanche, you could say. And it's quite consistent with what I said before. If you are doing all these common sense things to make sure the environment is safe, then yeah, you don't need helmets, and tobogganing is like a relatively safe activity. However, what I'm realizing now is that like all those things that I'm saying to not do, you know, not use a too big a hill, not use a, people just aren't able to follow that. So in light of what I've seen over the last week, and now having a perhaps a better appreciation for just human nature, I think it's simplest to just say, no, don't get on a toboggan. In fact, don't go anywhere where the ground is slippery. In fact, stay in the house. Otherwise, follow your kids around with a bag of salt, throwing it in front of them with every step they take.
Well, You know, to put this in perspective, you keep alluding to common sense. But if we've learned anything in the year 2020, or even in the last 4 years of the most recent American presidency, is that there is a severe lacking of common sense in the world. We cannot assume that people have common sense anymore. We need to give them very, very rigid rules to follow, right? Like, there's got to be a lockdown on toboggans at this rate.
It does seem like, you know, one would assume that you could tell people, yeah, tobogganing in a place where the hill is very, very high, high enough that you could ski down it, and that at the bottom of the hill, there's a fence or a metal pole or a tree. You would think that would just be obvious that, okay, that's not a good idea. But yeah, I guess what you're saying is that common sense is actually rather uncommon.
Well, the medical dads will run that one back again, because actually what happened is we had gone tobogganing a few times over Christmas, and my wife was the one that was starting to get a little queasy. She was like, is this really that safe? Like, she read on Facebook someone had an accident, right? And then we Googled it, and there were some articles talking about toboggan safety. So that's why I thought it would be a good topic for us to talk about during our episode.
Yeah.
Since that episode has aired, it's not just your emergency room. There have been a plethora of articles online about a rash of tobogganing accidents. I was just reading about one in Montreal. Like, this is a big thing,
yeah.
Right? To be fair, a lot of these accidents could just be all the accidents that used to occur when people skied and snowmobiled and skated and did everything else. No one's doing any of those things now,
right?
And they're all on toboggans. So at some level, maybe that's what's happening. It's just that the absolute number is higher. But there are ways to be safer.
Well, I've yet to see an actual serious injury from somebody who went down on the toboggan sitting in a normal sitting position as recommended by the manufacturer of the toboggan, who was going down a hill that was free of obstacles and that wasn't overly crowded.
Well, I'll throw out a few suggestions. Like, toboggans are very difficult to steer, so they're not as nimble as skis, right?
Yeah.
So if you think that you're going to be able to avoid stuff because you're going to pull out some magical steering technique halfway down the hill, even if you're riding a GT snow racer that has a steering wheel, like, you got to realize the turning radius of that thing is like 60 feet, right? You cannot steer much on a toboggan. So whatever direction you're pointing it at is where it's going to go.
Or not go. The point is, kids can't really control these things. So you could point it away from the trees and still end up in the trees.
Secondly, a lot of people like to ride a toboggan really low to the ground.
Yeah.
Right? I do. I like doing that too, right? Like, you want to pretend you're like on a luge, right? And a lot of toboggans deceptively are built in a shape that encourages you to do this, right? Some of them are like super long and have like a place for you to stick your feet out forward.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, okay, I can go down like a torpedo if I lean backwards. You don't realize as you do that your head is literally 6 inches from the ground, right? And a lot of these things are flimsy, so they can just flip at any time. Like, my children were on a toboggan, and it flipped over,
yeah,
near the end of the ride. And then you realize that, wow, this thing is not really balanced that well. So you really do want to try to follow the manufacturer instructions, which really just means sitting.
And factor in that we're so desperate to get outside and do something that we're not waiting for ideal snow conditions. We're going down hills covered in just ice. And you know what that means.
Blunt force trauma, toboggans, unsafe. Medical dads have run their revisionist podcast.
That's right.
Now,
our new thing is that if you want to toboggan safely, you can, provided that you only toboggan up the hill. That you do this in an area where there is no ice on the ground or snow on the ground, just sand. And you can't use an actual plastic toboggan because somebody might hit you in the face with it. So we're only using cushions.
This reminds me of when my kids were smaller, like when my daughter was 2, I think, or maybe 1.5.
Yeah.
In the winter, I would put her on a toboggan. We weren't anywhere near a park with a hill. And dad would just lug that thing down the street. So she's not on an incline. It's pure force of dad pulling this thing along to generate some sort of like fun.
That is the medical dad's approved way to go sledding.
Indeed.
All right. Well, since we're not going outside to play on the toboggan with our kids, let's talk about being at home trying to get work done while the kids are trapped at home doing homeschool.
So I was thinking about this. About a year ago, I would have been back in my regular routine,
yeah,
taking my daughter to school, taking my son to preschool, And my son at that time was doing preschool for half day. So he was finished by lunchtime. Yeah. So there were these 2.5 hours in the morning that I had a bit of free time to myself. Like I'd drop off my daughter, then my son, and it would be about 9:10 at that point. I had from 9:10 to 11:35. Yeah. I could do some stuff, which invariably that time just vanishes. And then I'm back to picking up my son. And then the afternoon, there's like sun stuff and nap time and yada, yada. And I remember in my head thinking, just get to September. September of 2020, my son will be in school. My daughter will be in school. I will have from 9 o'clock in the morning, and they're going to be at the same school. I'm going to have from 8:45 in the morning till 3:30 for myself.
Yeah.
I had all these grand plans, right? There was like all these foreign films I wanted to watch, right? Like I was going to get a subscription to Criterion, right? And start streaming indie films that my wife can't stand. Like if I try to drag these movies out at night during Netflix time, like I get shushed. That's right?
You have like, so much free time on your hands. They're like, no, I've already watched everything from mainstream Hollywood. I've watched all the good movies. Now I'm watching the things with German subtitles.
Absolutely. I even bought a Blu-ray of Do the Right Thing by Spike Lee. I've been meaning to watch this movie for decades. I've never gotten around to it. Right? And then we get closer and closer to September. We get to March and it all falls apart. Right? And now I've been home for the last, I don't know, even know how many months, 10 months or something, yeah, with no end in sight. Right? Do the Right Thing is still sitting in the box, has not been taken out. You know, there's no hope of getting a subscription to watching any indie films. Like right now, the days are filled with either me dealing with the kids or dealing with the office from home. Yeah. And then occasionally recording this podcast, and that's it. And then, of course, like somehow doing laundry, you know, taking care of the kitchen, you know, managing a home repair of broken appliances because everything decides to break during COVID because now you're actually using the appliances all the time.
Not to mention all the other stuff in your house that breaks now that your kids are around more often.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that is the thing. That's what I was thinking about today when we were going to talk about what it's like to work from home. It's not even the work from home. It's what could have been. It could have been, there could have been time to watch films and movies and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. My PVR has got to the point now where it's just automatically deleting things that I'm like, oh, I wanted to watch that, but I ran out of space and it's deleting them. But when I think back to the beginning of even, not pre-pandemic, but at the beginning of the pandemic, when they, you know, this all started with the kids being off for March break and then them announcing, hey, guess what? March break's going to be 2 weeks long because of this pandemic. And then we'll start going back to school. And everybody started to be like, oh, that seems a little suspicious. And then before you knew it, it was, all right, your kids will work from home for school. And that's what we'll do for a few weeks and then see how the rest of the year goes. So In those days, my day kind of would look something like this. Get up, look online to see what work my kids have to do, set them up doing their work, check on them a little bit, sometimes help them a little bit. And then in between there, try to get my own work done, administrative work, charting, preparing stuff for the education stuff that I have to do for the residents at the hospital. And then in the evening, often I would just then go and work a shift. Or sometimes I'd be the one working the shift during the day and my wife would do this on her own. And so back then it was, yeah, you know, this is hard. There are some upsides, but there's a lot of downsides, but we're managing to kind of survive. Plus everybody's under the same expectation that nobody's as productive as they would be because of coronavirus. So that's what it was like at the beginning. Now it is different. Now what's happened is with this tighter lockdown where my kids are schooling from home, they still expected to do the same type of class interaction that they would have been doing at school before the holidays, but they have to do it virtually. So there's 4 hours for every kid where they actually have to be on the computer interacting with the class through Google Meet. Which would be slightly more manageable if my wife was in the same situation as before, where she just had to prepare a learning package for her students the night before and then could help my kids the day. But she also is expected to provide learning for her students face-to-face.
Right.
And then, of course, I still have my regular meetings and stuff that I have to do for work, administrative meetings, business meetings, et cetera, that are also through Zoom. So at certain points in the day, there are 6 computers simultaneously running either Zoom or Google Meet.
At some points of the day, it's probably most of the day by the sounds of it.
Well, it's a good 4 hours of the day on some days.
No wonder your audio is so choppy on my end
yes.
when we record this.
You may notice that there's a lot of of jerky movements from me and a lot of and then I couldn't that's because our bandwidth is being stretched to the limit over here. And then, you know, I'll go and I'll do this shift in the evening and then I'll come back the next day. But instead of sort of sleeping in a little bit to make up for coming home late in the night, you know, more or less got to get up and deal with the kids, at least by time my wife has to get on and start doing her teaching. So then it's like, all right, well, now I'm kind of tired. And then you have another shift that evening. You're like, all right, I'm going to work tired. And then you come home. You're like, all right, let's see how much I can get done today. Oh, man.
Well, you know what? You know what? I've been at home for months. We're actually pretty used to our routine for this period. So for us, it's not actually that different, right? And my wife actually was looking at the situation where now everyone has to stay home and was like, good. Now everyone can deal with what we've been dealing with for the last 3 months. Now we're all on equal footing, right? Before we felt like we were the only stupid fools out there that were keeping our kids at home. But now we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's this thing right now where people are saying, you know, this isn't that sustainable, but, you know, the government's put a clear deadline of when things are going to go back to normal. But if things keep following the pattern they have been following, where that deadline keeps getting pushed back further and further, then there will actually have to be some adjustments. There will have to be maybe an element of, you know, not every kid can have synchronous learning online for 4 hours every day. So someone's going to have to just do their work independently without having their teacher in front of them.
So with your children, like, there's a spectrum of age because there's four of them.
That's right.
Like, are all of them at this age able to sit in front of the computer on their own for most of the day, or do you need to be hands-on with them as they're attending class?
If they were just watching Disney Plus, then all of them could easily sit in front of the computer with minimal assistance for a good 8 to 27 hours.
Well, Stu, you've done a fine job raising your children, I must say.
Yeah, what I didn't anticipate was some of this interactive stuff that the classes need to do. So my 10-year-old, she could pretty much go on her computer, do all the work that she needs to do with the teacher, and doesn't need to come and ask us for help very often, other than maybe the odd, you know, technical glitch.
Right.
My son can be more or less independent. He's 9, but there is a certain amount of having to go in there and make sure that he's actually staying on task. So, you know,
too independent, maybe. Yeah.
I went in one day to check on how things are going, and I see him like hiding something, and I'm like, you know, what's in your hands? And I thought I was going to find some kind of, like, you know, he's got these things that are kind of like mini arcade games. You know, he could play just like Pac-Man on a little thing. I thought I'd find something like that, but I found a few pieces of just Lego. You know, people who listen to our last couple episodes will know that he got some Pokemon Lego for Christmas.
Right.
Anyway, so he's telling me, oh, no, the class hasn't really started yet. And I'm saying, well, look, I don't want you to be all distracted and fidgeting with things, but, you know, fine, you can fidget with some Lego if you want to. Just, I don't want you touching any of this video game stuff. And I don't want to come in here and see you frantically switching tabs on the computer, because there's been a bit of that where he's playing like games online or something like that when he should be working. Anyhow, I come back to check on him later, you know, at the end of his day. And yeah, he's so bored sitting there trying to like listen to what's going on in the class. He's built this gigantic Lego creature, you know, over the course of a couple of hours. You know, I think if on a regular day I said, hey, I want you to sit there and I want you to finish this entire Lego creation from start to finish, it would be half done. But I come back, he's completed the whole thing while he should be in class.
On the bright side, it reduced his screen time by a significant amount. <That's right.
laughs> Then I've got my 7-year-old. She needs a fair bit of help. One of the big things for her is that she's got 2 hours with one teacher, and then immediately following that, 2 hours with another teacher. So it seems like, although one would expect there'd be a clear pattern now of here's how the day works, every single day she logs off with one teacher and has like a 5-minute body break, and then forgets that she has to go back with the other teacher. So if I'm not there to specifically say, okay, yeah, you got to go back with the other teacher, I'll find her like having a snack or doing something. Like, I was busy one day and didn't go to check on her. And when my wife finished her day of work and came back, she's watching TV, and she'd been doing that for about a half an hour. And then my wife's saying, aren't you supposed to be in class? Oh, I forgot. I just thought I'd turn on the TV for 5 minutes and I forgot. And then there's the youngest one, the one who's in kindergarten. She's five.
Mm.
So her class is broken up into segments. And one segment is the teacher's doing a scavenger hunt. So the teacher says, okay, everybody, go and find something you put on your eyes. Well, that's fun for the kids. And I definitely am impressed by how the teachers manage to keep them engaged. But I got to say, a five-year-old is not independently going to the correct drawer and pulling out a pair of reading glasses. Right? She's frantically coming up to me, whatever I'm doing. Dad, 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 I need my glasses. The teacher said, you got to find something that whirs. I got to find something that can whir, Dad. What do you got? Half the time, whatever the teacher says to go and find meets the description of what my cell phone can do. So she's going, Dad, quick, I need your cell phone. I need something that lights up. I need something that can take a picture. I need something that can go bleep, bloop, bleep. Just never ending.
Oh, my.
So, yeah. So they're not that independent completely.
Wow. I guess my kids are a little smaller than yours. So, I mean, those stories resonate with me. I did find that as time passed, the less hands-on I was, like as the off-screen parent,
the better
it was for the child.
Yeah.
And in the early part of the school year, I would actually be sitting literally like just off to the camera. So you can't really see me, except occasionally if you watch very carefully, I'm sliding like a math book under the screen because the class was moving too slow. We had to do extra problems. Right. And then at some point I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stop undermining the school. Like, we're just going to let them learn.
But yeah, I think that is that's a good take home point that parents can actually maybe learn a bit from, is that your young kids, if you're always there and you're always available, then they will use you a lot and then it'll feel like they can't be independent. But if you actually give them some space, you'll be surprised how much they can get done without you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's a problem at my house right now. As you know, there are varying degrees of do not disturb when you're trying to do work at home, right? The difference between when you're being interrupted by your kids during a podcast versus, for example, when you're with a patient and somebody comes in. Well, the same is true for my wife, who I've said before is a high school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she's actually teaching the class, she's not in a headspace where she wants kids coming up and asking her for scissors or paper or whatever. So that sort of leaves me as I'm the defenseman, you know, if the kids get past the defenseman and score a goal on the goalie, there's a lot of heat on the defenseman here. So that gets a little bit stressful, especially when I've left my post, right? And I've been like, hey, I'm going to give her some space. And then I hear her running to my wife and I've got to like intercept her. No, and I tackle her. You can't interrupt mommy because I'll get in trouble.
if your household is run anything like my household, the mummy character often responds to the children with this snarl. Like, and sometimes, you know, you open the door to her office and she thinks you're one of the attackers, right? And she gives you that look like, oh, oh, but it's silent, right? She can't actually say. She's on the phone with a baby, oh, oh, right? And then, and it's to the point that at this point, 4 or 5 months in, I'll tell you, the kids know not to go in that room. Never get in that room. Like they want something printed out. Dad has to go fetch it. They never go near that room.
Yeah, actually, I think my kids have started to learn a little bit about how interrupting mommy could result in the launch of a projectile.
So what we wanted to talk about is what it's like being at home. And I think we've given people a bit of a taste of this, right? It is chaos for all of us. And it actually does take a toll on people. Like we're joking around on it, but you know, even recently in clinic, I've just seen a whole pile of people with issues of mental health, all related in one way, shape or form to coronavirus, right? There's people who, you know, their families are split up. Like one person's here, the other person's stuck in Asia. They can't get back because of the closure of airplane flights, right? There's people whose school has been upended. There's people who've lost their jobs because of COVID. There's like a whole slew, a whole mountain of these problems.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, even we are dealing with it. Like everyone's under stress now, right? It's a crazy amount of stress to deal with, having to do all the things that you used to do and then a whole pile of things that you used to not do because you had outsourced them to someone else. And then to teach the kids on top of all that. Right? Like, this is craziness.
I'm seeing this at work too. Tons of teenagers coming in who, you know, they were kind of just getting by from a mental health point of view. They were getting by before coronavirus. You know, they had some issues, but when I look at their chart, they'd never come to the CHEO emergency department before. But then now you take on those extra stressors associated with coronavirus and the fact that the things people used to do to relieve anxiety and relieve stress, they can't do anymore. You know, it's a bad combination.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. And for us, I guess, working people, the working from home part, right? A lot of my patients are like, oh, I've been working from home. It's crazy. There's no off button, right? Yes. Their boss, like they used to work 8 hours. Now they could easily work 12 hours, 14 hours. There's no stopping it, right? I've heard of other colleagues, not doctor colleagues, but friends of ours, who their company, because of COVID, slashed a bunch of jobs and then told the remaining people, including our friend, that now you got to do twice as much work. You got to make up the work for all the other people who aren't here anymore, right? So times are hard for people at this point. It's a crazy time to be working and working from home specifically.
And there's this pressure that people feel that, you know, I'm working from home, but I have to try to make it look as if I'm working from my office, right? You know, I think most people are starting to get it that, you know, you'll be in a meeting with somebody and their child may come in and ask for a crayon. And, you know, that's okay. But as an example, my wife, she's teaching her high school students. And this was a day when I wasn't home. But while she's teaching them, she can hear one of the kids has gone to the bathroom. One of the younger ones has gone to the bathroom and they've left the door open. And so she can hear the sound of peeing. And so she's just trying to ignore it. And she's like, you know, this is kind of loud, but maybe it's not picking up on the microphone. Maybe no one else is hearing it, so I'll just ignore it. So she's continuing with the class, trying to pretend she doesn't hear the peeing. And then she hears singing from the bathroom. And the song goes like this. This is the sound of me peeing. I'm peeing in the bathroom now.
Now, you're sure you weren't home for this? This wasn't you in the washroom at this point?
No, I sang the chorus, though. This is the sound of pooping! But yeah, so people just got to cut themselves a little slack on that. Those things are going to happen.
Oh, man. I mean, what a year it has been. It has been a wacky year. Now, let's talk about it's not all bad. There are some pros to working from home.
Okay.
Right? And I think this, since we've been venting, it might be a good time to touch on some of these pros to give people some things to look forward to when they're working from home.
If we were just talking about simply working from home, if we were just talking about the concept that, yeah, you're at home and you're doing stuff at home, you know, there's a lot to say about that. I think the part that's killing us so much is the working from home while also having our kids schooling from home with the expectation that we're actually actively involved in co-schooling them.
Yeah. But even then, there are some positives.
That's
okay.
True.
Number one, you're not commuting your kids to their school anymore.
Yes.
So that morning drive is gone. I mean, it's a little thing, I admit. It's a little thing, right? But for a lot of people, that saves them a good 30 or 40 minutes a day. On top of the 18 hours you've now lost because of COVID, you get 30 minutes back.
That's true.
So that's something.
That's true. Because even before, during COVID, I was still having to like do meetings and stuff like that versus over Zoom. But I think I told the story where I had to also drop the kids off at school. And so I'm actually doing an interview with somebody who was interviewing for a training position. And then I had a meeting and then I had a teaching session and I had to do all this from the car in front of the kids' school to make the drop-off timing work out. And to power my laptop for all this, I had to have my phone as a Wi-Fi hotspot to stop the phone from going dead. It was plugged into the car, but then I turned off the engine, the phone drained the car battery. And when all the meetings were over and I went to start the car, it would start.
Wait a minute, you never told this story.
I didn't tell that story? Oh, well, that happened.
Your car battery is running in so empty that a little laptop or a cell phone was able to drain its battery?
We've got two cars, or two vans, I should say. A regular minivan, and then the smaller minivan that's a Mazda 5. The Mazda 5 has like a manufacturing defect where the battery in that car is very tenuous. You know, everybody knows not to leave their headlights on, but if you do it with a Mazda 5, guaranteed you will come back and your battery will be dead. And I've actually had to go back and return the car or bring the car back to the dealer when the battery like stopped holding a charge completely. And they were, yep, this happened within a year of you owning the car. This is a problem that the car is known for. Here's a new battery. But yeah, it has this issue. So if you turn off the engine but leave something plugged into the whatever the modern equivalent of the cigarette lighter is, like the USB port, then you could drain the battery just by doing that.
Frightening.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a con. That's definitely a downside of working from home.
But now, because we don't drop the kids off at school anymore, that doesn't happen.
Okay, there you go. We're back to pros.
All you have to find is a dark enough cloud when you're looking for a silver lining.
So now, here's another one. This one I'm always advocating is that the food is better at home compared to when we go to work, right? I've eaten many meals at the office where I took last night's leftovers, slapped them into my lunch container, then I microwave it for 3 minutes and 30 seconds, and then I eat slop, right? Now we make a fresh meal most days. Like today, I was telling my daughter, like, we're going to have lunch. She comes in and is like, oh, what are we eating? What are we eating? She looks at what I've made. She's like, oh, leftovers. And it's like, this is like the one time this week we had leftovers. It's not my fault. We had extra noodles yesterday, right? The people are so used to having a dad make a fresh meal every single day that now they can't even handle warm leftovers, right? We used to eat this stuff every day.
Yeah, they're spoiled now. You need to put them back into school just so that they can appreciate how good they have it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you're right. That is another upside, not having to pack a school lunch. I think we've talked about that before, but I'm still loving that. Not having to have like a rushed breakfast in the morning.
Here's an upside. If you need anything done to your house, you know, normally when you're working and like let's say you're like you need a new sink, right? Or, you know, something needs a repair. Then you got to schedule the repairman to come to your house. Then you got to find a time where you're actually at home on a weekday for said repairman to come do the job. Yeah. Well, right now you're home all the time, right? Anytime the repairman's free, come right on over. I mean, it is a lockdown and we're supposed to be keeping social distance, but for...
There's no repairman coming to your house.
There are plenty of repairmen going to houses. Let me tell you that, okay? Houses need fixing even during the lockdown, right? But... You know, whatever you need done, especially if you need something done outside the house, you need to quote a price for something, you're home. There is some benefit to this.
It's true. We did have a repair guy come to our house during COVID. We had to get somebody to come for the furnace. Mm. The furnace just really just wouldn't turn on and stop working. And I did all
You also invested in the Mazda 5 of furnaces, I assume.
The furnace, I think it was a perfectly fine-esque furnace when we got it, but the house is coming on 10 years old now. And to be fair, the guy came in, and when he's looking at the furnace, he's saying, how long has this water been on the floor? And I said, a couple years. It's like, if one's hair could actually like fly off their head and then land back in a cartoon, I think I saw it happen to this guy. And it was one of those things where I could have tried to lie to him. I could have tried to say, you know, oh, it's been like a week. But when he looked inside the furnace, he was like, yep, definitely, that's been a couple of years.
So the furnace stopped working completely?
Yeah, the furnace stopped working completely. Because what had happened was there's a part of the furnace that I guess the water was condensing and then leaking. And then it was eventually, because what happened to me is it had leaked outside the furnace onto the floor, but then it evaporated and no new water accumulated. So I was like, all right, I can leave that for a little while. And it just sort of kept being that cycle. It's like sometimes you'd see water, but it would go away and I couldn't see where it was dripping from, so I let it go. But apparently at a certain point, water was dripping into the circuit board of the furnace. And when the guy opened up the thing and showed me the inside, he's saying, okay, so look, so here, this is water where the water's coming from. Here's the circuitry where it's frying. And see this metal shelf in between that's all rusted that if I tap hard, I can poke a hole through? Well, if a hole develops between this compartment and that compartment, there's nothing separating carbon monoxide from the part that distributes air through the rest of the house. So if a small hole develops here, you will die.
Now, this seems to be an argument in favor of, you know how like your furnace company is always trying to get you to buy into like their annual checkup plan?
Yeah.
They'll come in twice a year and check on the thing. And we're always like, we don't need checkups, right? The thing will be fine. Yeah. And it's just a cash grab, but maybe the medical dads actually need this because I've had the exact same issue happen in our house.
Nice. Well, when I did the calculations as to how much it would cost if I went with the builder's furnace checks every year, the cost of fixing it that one time was way less than what I would have spent in the previous 10 years. however, it's not expensive to get somebody who's just like a sort of a private contractor, not your house builder, who will check it for way less money than it costs to buy into one of these insurance like plans. And the cost of doing that versus the cost of dying, it does kind of balance out in favor of having a $30 check of your furnace once a year.
So there we go. I'm not even sure if this is a pro or a con. I guess it's a pro. You can get the guy into your house during COVID, but you're there all the time. So if carbon monoxide does leak, you're all going to die. So that's not a good thing. Like, I don't even know where that's I'm going.
More time out of the house means less chance of asphyxiation at my house in particular. But, you know, the thing is, a lot of the things you're describing are, we're in a bit of slightly unique situations here, right? Because I'm a shift worker. So, you know, getting time during the day to have someone come in the house was never a problem for me. I always actually wondered how the rest of you people did that, how the rest of you people function and do anything when you can't, when the banks are generally open during the daytime and grocery stores are crowded in the evening. I don't know how people did it without having
a lot of us at some point in your career, you realize it's really nice to have a few hours of weekday time set aside for running errands, right? And it would be like, you know, you take like Friday afternoon off and you're like, you have it circled in your calendar. You're like, I can't wait. I'm going to get Friday afternoon off. I got all these things I'm going to do, right? I'm going to watch Do the Right Thing. I'm going to buy some comic books. And Friday afternoon hits, you're at the bank. You're at the grocery store. Yeah. You're meeting the plumber. You're meeting the accountant. You got to drop off your tax papers. And you're stuck in traffic between each of these things. And next thing you know, it's already Friday night. You haven't done a single thing and you haven't seen Do the Right Thing still.
Yeah. My baseline situation is I may be working a weekend or during the week working an evening, but I know I can at least get something done during the daytime when everybody else is out of the house. But now it's, I'm not going to get anything done this evening and it's going to be hard to get anything done on the weekend. And I guess it's also going to be hard to get anything done during the daytime. So maybe nothing will just get done.
Let's talk a little bit about this evening thing, because I think this is what most people have done at this point, is that as the daytime has gotten more impacted by their work schedule, that work is getting pushed into the evening. And in the evening, it was the last bit of respite for the modern parent, right? The time, 9 o'clock, 9:30, the kids are in bed. You can finally sit down and relax and unwind for a good hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, if you really want to push it for the next morning, right? Where you could watch a movie, you could read a book, you could do all this stuff. Now, I mean, in our house, you know, we're working till 10, 11, you know, that 3 hours of relaxation now is like 3 minutes of relaxation. Yeah. Like you sit on the couch, say hi to your wife. It's like, we got to go to bed. Yeah, let's go. We got to go to bed now. Right. And it's crazy. Right. And I think a lot of people are having to deal with that also. Like the window of free time is getting really stripped bare at this point.
Yeah. Which I think, like you said, pushes people to end up staying up a little bit later than they should, which then leads to fatigue and less resilience the next day. And then, it wears people out.
It does.
For me, you know, I don't work every single evening, right? I do shift work, but it's not every evening is taken up with that. But I actually try to protect some time in the evenings. So
Good. Protect some time to edit our podcast. Right. That is exactly what we need.
That's right. That is when a lot of that is getting done. But I also try to make sure that I leave time for spending time with my wife. You know, because if I work like, say, 3 evenings in a row, and then that's like 3 days where we haven't really seen each other, it's not good to then on the one evening I have off or the one evening we have time to spend with each other, that I spend the whole evening trying to like catch up on work or whatever, because there's always deadlines. It's always the way my kind of life is. At any given moment, there's something that I should be doing. Anytime I'm relaxing, it's great, but I should be doing something else. And now I bet many, many people probably feel the same way. And so if you do, I think it's a good idea to prioritize spending time with your partner, wife, spouse, family, right up there with your other activities.
And unless you don't like your family, in which case this is a great time to run off and just keep doing more work.
That's right.
Because you have a built-in excuse.
There are some people out there who are like, you know what, I think I might have COVID and I don't want to get my family sick. So I've just checked into this hotel. And if you need me, I'll be playing my PlayStation.
The nice thing that happened this week, actually, is that one morning, my daughter's in grade 2, and she finally has learned to tell time.
Nice.
Right? Before, she had no concept of what was going on with the clock.
Yeah.
But this, she's finally learned to tell time. It hit 8:40. She comes into the room, wakes me up. It's like, school starting in 20 minutes. I've already made breakfast. I was like, you've made breakfast. This is amazing. Right. And then I'm getting out of bed. I'm thinking, I guess I can't get my morning workout in today. There's no time for that. I come downstairs and I'm really bleary eyed because usually I get up earlier than this. Yeah. My son looks at me. Then he turns to my daughter's like, what's wrong with his eyes? Right. My daughter looks at me. He's like, he just woke up. That's what your eyes look like when you wake up. That's like what you wake up after your nap. And he's like, oh, right. I'm like, I look this bad. Like they're talking about me in front of my face.
They're probably like, don't worry. He can't hear us yet. He hasn't really woken up.
Oh, man. What's your take on working through Zoom or using Zoom or these Google Meets as a thing? Like not even for your kids, but for yourself. Like, do you like it as a technology? Do you despise it? Like, what's your take on it?
Well, you know, I think if you start doing 4 hours a day of it, then no matter how good it is, you're going to start to despise it for sure. Because even I have days where I have to do, I've had days where I've had to do more than 4 hours of continuous Zoom meetings back to back to back.
Right.
And yeah, right. By the end of that, you want to shoot yourself. But the thing is, if you're comparing a Zoom meeting to an in-person meeting, in-person meetings are also a travesty.
Right? I was going to say, you do 4 hours of that, you still want to shoot yourself.
That's right. I mean, at least it's easier to play Minecraft on the sly when you're on a Zoom meeting than it is when you're in the boardroom, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I agree with you. Like, I've actually found working from home to not be that bad as a physician, right? Like there's a lot of little things we can handle over the phone. We don't have to go in that often. You know, I could see this definitely being a part of our career going forward in some way, shape or form. I've actually enjoyed having Zoom meetings with friends for the most part. Like we've had some meetings with people who I hadn't seen since college. Yeah. Like it's nice. There are some benefits to this.
Yeah, certainly there were days before coronavirus where I would have to go into work just for one or two meetings. You know, I'd go to work just go in the building for 2-3 hours just for the purpose of a meeting. And then that's adding like another 20 minutes of commute time on either end, plus the time to get ready to leave the house. So I definitely think that when this is over, there's still going to be an appetite for saying, you know what, we don't all need to go in for this. Let's just do this meeting over Zoom. And I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
But then there are other things where the Zoom does not work as well. And teaching is one good example where, you know, especially where you have a place where the culture is that, well, once we're in a Zoom meeting, I can turn off my microphone and turn off the screen. That you're not getting the same interactive learning as you do when you're in the room with somebody. So that affects the way I teach the residents. And Zoom meetings as a replacement for, you know, because when we talk about working from home, for me, that only applies to some of the academic things I do with my job. It does not replace, for the most part, my actual on shift going into the emergency department, seeing patients side of being a doctor. And we do have those virtual shifts that I think I've talked about before on the show. Yeah. And yeah, their virtual shift is not at all a comparison to an actual visit to the emergency department. You know, the idea that you're having a medical emergency and I'm gonna fix it without seeing you in person is silly. Not that our CHEO virtual care clinic doesn't come in handy, but if you got an axe in your face, I am not gonna resolve that without having to get out of my chair.
The biggest thing I've found about working from home for us, because we run a small medical office. Yeah. Is it is difficult to manage people from home.
Yeah.
Like you can conduct a meeting, but what you're missing out on is the day-to-day interaction with the people.
Right.
You know, I'm sure it's the same. Like imagine if you were working in a hospital, but you didn't have to see the staff. You didn't see the nursing staff or any of like the admin people ever. Yeah. Right. Things start to like slip off the wheels when you're not around to keep tabs on things. That's right. I'll tell you that.
It's also easier sometimes where somebody asks me, hey, when are you running another pediatric advanced life support course? You know, somebody emails me that question. When I'm at the hospital, I might just see the doctor who actually runs those courses and knows the answer. I could just say, oh, hey man, when are you running these courses? But when it's, when everyone's working from home, then that's, you know, instead of a quick question, quick answer, it's, I either got to email them, wait for a response. Mm-hmm. If their response has some uncertainty or some needs clarification, I got to email them back, then wait for them to respond again. Or you could try to shorten it with a phone call, but then that still is like, you know, you got to track them down and pin them down for a phone call.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year. Like the way all of us work has changed a lot. Yeah. And we don't know how much of it is here to stay and how much of it is going to be gone a couple of years from now, hopefully sooner rather than later. I mean, I don't know. Like, do you have any take-home points for people about working from home?
Well, you know, I think maybe we conceptualize this as being specifically talking about working from home. But I think what I really turned it into is more talking about our current situation, which is mm-hmm. working from home while also managing full-time, like, school from home. So from that point of view, I would say to people, like, this is... It may feel like it's never going to end, but this is more or less temporary to some degree or the other. And so either it's a matter of just, you know, cut yourself some slack. You know, your kid's not going to get the same education that they were getting before, and that's okay. And just, like, hang in there and it'll be over soon enough. Or if it does last forever, then just know that, well, at a certain point then, you'll just have to make some changes to say, okay, if this is going to be the way it is indefinitely, then I'm cutting out.
What's with the sudden nihilism and the turn to dystopian future? I was all ready to listen to your, like, signing us off with some, like, happy, feel-good thing for the future. Like, we could...
how about this? The vaccine is here, and it's starting to be distributed.
There we go. Power up. So, there we go.
Things will get better. Things will get better than this.
So, much, much nicer clothes, I think. On that note, everyone.
That's right.
Hang in there. You know, we feel your pain wherever you are. If you're at home working, if you have children, if you don't have children, we feel your pain. We will get through this.
That's right. I ran into someone the other day, yesterday. I ran into somebody, and I hadn't seen him since the beginning of the new year. And he said to me, I don't say Happy New Year anymore. I just say it's a new year. Like, whoa, that's dark. I'd say, you know, 2020 ended and 2021 started with the arrival of the vaccine. And so although the numbers right now don't look good, I think we're going to see things improve. So if you don't want to say Happy New Year, say Hopeful New Year. Hopeful New Year, everybody.
Well, if anyone is looking for any glimmer of hope for the future, just remember, we're only a few days away from the end of the Trump presidency. We've almost made it, folks. Yes. We've almost made it.
Yes, how could we forget that? One way or another, he's going out. Whether it's on an impeachment stick or if he just bows out the regular way, he'll be gone. On my birthday,
we may see him again. We may see him again, but for now, he's gone.
Maybe that's a problem for 2024.
Have a good week, everybody.
And a hopeful new year.